Chapter 4. The Stairway Between Heaven and Hell. Only yesterday the students were discussing the painting, Escalator of Life with the Guardian of Knowledge, and already this morning a new painting appeared in the temple. This new painting was very similar to the previous one, but still had its significant differences. In it, you could see the same escalator with people who represent our vices. Yesterday the master had explained and talked about each of the characters depicted in the painting. In the approximate center of the painting, two girls stood chatting idly to each other, obviously coming out of some social party. Now there was a sign that read "Sleep" on the step beside them. Below them stood two men. One of them could see nothing around him except the ghostly, ephemeral figure of a jackalope, and he was reaching for in an unsuccessful attempt to catch the illusion. The other man was wearing a business suit and holding a firm suitcase in his hand. He, too, could see nothing around him because he was so busy talking on the phone. Across from this step was a sign that said "Identifications." If you looked a bit lower, you could see the familiar couple from the previous painting. Their furious gestures and facial expressions indicated that the husband and wife were arguing fiercely with each other. Opposite this step was a sign reading "Negative Emotions." Even lower, two new characters, who were not in the first painting of the Escalator of Life, had appeared. A military man in a camouflage uniform was shooting with an auto rifle almost point-blank at a defenseless man. Brown stains blurred his clothes, as the blood was gushing from fresh gunshot wounds. The wounded man was falling with his arms and legs spread. It seemed that only an instant separated him from sliding down the escalator. On this step was a sign that read "Deeds of Evil." There was also a man running upward actively. On the way up, there were signs next to the steps that read "Awareness, Detachment, Sublime Emotions, and Acts of Kindness." At the top of the escalator, in the center stood the figure of the master in his traditional dark robe, with a high collar and cylindrical headdress. He looked at the people on the escalator the same way he looked at his students with love, acceptance and warmth. He held his hands with open palms up. To the left of the master stood Jesus in white robes, ready to help and support anyone who climbed the escalator and welcomed them into heaven. On the right, wrapped in an orange zangadi cloak, stood the Buddha. The enlightened one's index finger and thumb on each hand were connected in a symbolic gesture that spoke of his intention to carry and impart his teachings to people. The artist painted the escalator between heaven and hell. In heaven, beautiful angels were flying and there was grace everywhere. But below the escalator, there was the abyss of the underworld, where devils were waiting for people in every place. The poor people who fell down the escalator did not simply fall into a pit, but into a devilish hellfire. There, the devils poured red-hot oil on them and stung them with their sharp pikes. Horror, anguish, and cries for help appeared on their faces. They agonized, screamed, and stretched their arms upward, but it all was useless. They could not go back up the escalator, let alone ascend from this fiery hellhole to heaven, to God and eternal grace. Looking at the new painting, the students noticed the details that had changed compared to the image they had looked at yesterday. They tried to understand what would be discussed during today's spiritual conversation. New questions to ask the guardian of knowledge gradually appeared in their minds. As he entered the hall, the students naturally shifted their eyes to his tall, majestic figure. He smiled and moved smoothly toward them. "Great one. We have a new painting," said a fair-haired girl in a pale purple pantsuit of plain cotton cloth, "and it is very similar to the Escalator of Life we spoke of yesterday. Only in this one, there are signs on each step. Also, there are devils and angels, and Jesus and Buddha. Please explain what all this means. If the escalator symbolizes our life, does it mean that here, in our physical incarnation, we are really between hell and heaven? The sage looked at the girl with warmth and love. Yes, Radha, we are, he answered, and the edges of his lips stretched into a mysterious smile. Our life is a stairway between heaven and hell. Yesterday we talked a lot about the importance of making an effort not to fall down. Today I will tell you more about the steps a person has to take on this stairway. The sage gestured to the painting. You see, there are four steps that take us to hell, and four steps that we can reach if we actively run upward, to heaven and to God. See, the first step down is sleep and absent-mindedness. It can manifest in trivial ways, in something we face on the everyday level. The sage looked around the audience. Can you give an example of how it may be? Radha and the other students pondered, remembering yesterday's conversation. The first to raise her hand was a short woman of athletic build. She threw back her long blonde bangs and started speaking. I used to do this all the time, she said, her voice clearly self-ironic. I went out and left the iron on in the apartment. Or the stove, or the hairdryer. Thank God, it didn't turn into a fire. I only remembered about it when I was out. Did I turn it off or not? Did I turn it off or not? That thought wouldn't let me relax all day. The woman grinned as she remembered her own absent-mindedness, acknowledging it and laughing at her shortcoming, which she had already successfully overcome. The other student smiled as well because they recognized themselves and their acquaintances in the situation described. I had it even worse, commented the dark-haired, brown-eyed young woman with a sharp, lively look. Several times I left the gas station with a gas nozzle in the gas tank. Can you believe it? She gave a loud ringing laugh, remembering herself when she was still absent-minded. That's how much my head was so full of internal dialogue that I couldn't be in the here and now. The last time the gas station attendant wished me a good trip and asked me to do them a favor and never come there again. The young woman laughed again as she acknowledged the absurdity of the situation and her behavior. I also had a similar situation, Radha began to remember. I once left my purse in the car, and I forgot to lock the car. I went out for a couple of minutes to see my relative, who lived in a private house, and it seemed to me that everyone was like a family there. And then I suddenly remembered about the purse, but it was gone. I didn't even notice it was missing at first, by the way. It had my salary, documents, keys to work. I once forgot about the boss's instructions at work, and as a result, I didn't make a report on time. I missed out on a bonus, which I counted on so much, said a sunburned stocky man. Isn't that also a phenomenon of that kind? Yes, that's right, Alexander. It can also be attributed to the first stage sleep and absent-mindedness, said the sage, listening to the answers of the students. You see, each of you has already remembered examples of dreaming and reality. But this is the domestic level. Beyond that, there is a global level. This level is when we let life take its course, when we do not want to act, but only go with the flow and think that everything will happen somehow organically. All kinds of societal attitudes contribute to this. They have even invented a proverb for each of them. For example, marry first, and love will come follow. Don't mind that it's not good, at least you have one, the sage began to say and paused on purpose, expecting that students would remember and give examples of similar negative attitudes. Can anyone else name any? We never lived a rich life, so it is not worth starting to, Radha remembered. We didn't have rich people in our family, so keep your head down, Alexander added. All men are bastards, a sporty, short student named Svetlana continued with a resonant laughter. Things will sort out somehow, the brown-eyed, dark-haired young woman muttered. Yes, these all fit perfectly, nodded the guardian of knowledge. People have invented dozens and hundreds of such sayings. All to justify their own inaction. The master paused, looked attentively at his students again, and his eyes sparkled mischievously. You know, shamans also have a saying to define such a dream in reality. To float on the river of time without oars. The sage made a short pause to give the students an opportunity to feel the capacity of this expression. Beautifully said, admired Radha. Indeed, if you float on the current of time without oars, then, you don't know where you will arrive. Why not? It is well known. A person will then sink to the next step of the escalator, the guardian said in a jocular tone, and the students were amazed at the ease with which he spoke of difficult and unpleasant matters and processes. Every word coming through his mouth was filtered through a prism of a hearty irony. By speaking in such a tone, he suggested that a person should subdue situations, that one should remove themselves from the situation, and laugh at oneself and one's vices, thereby eradicating the situation entirely. The second step is obsession and identification, the master continued. Remember, yesterday we talked a lot about that. How people start jazzing the jackalopes, illusions that exist only in their minds. People don't realize that these illusions don't exist in reality, and they become obsessed with these ideas. They often spend their lives in this pursuit. These illusions are based on beliefs that we absorb from society, from parents, caregivers, teachers at school, from our circle of friends. They limit us. Master, can you give us an example of these limiting beliefs? Svetlana asked. Okay, the guardian nodded and readily began to explain. For example, a woman suffers and torments herself with strict diets all her life, gets liposuction to lose weight and weigh 40 kilograms. What is it all about? She has formed a false belief. She thinks that only such a woman is worthy of a man's love. Thus, she spends all of her energy on this pursuit of someone else's invented standard, and does not understand that it is only an illusion. The bright, feminine student, who one could roughly guess as being in her 30s, raised her hand. Great one, may I also give an example of such a limiting attitude? She asked, turning to the sage in awe. Certainly, Mila, he looked at her with a warm, trusting smile. You even should. Let's say there is an attitude that all men cheat, said the woman. For example, the mother told her daughter about it from her early childhood. The girl grows up, gets married and starts harassing her husband with jealousy. She checks his phone, all his conversations. If he is 5 minutes late, she starts a scandal with broken dishes. Yes, it's a very common attitude, commented the master, and with a shrewd smile, looked around at the other students. People take out a mortgage for 35 years because they need their own home, said Alexander, not hiding irony. Or they take out a loan for the latest iPhone model, because the commercials say it's impossible to live without it. Alexander said this with such a jovial intonation, and it seemed really so absurd that everyone else started laughing too. Everything that is advertised to people turns into an obsession, said the sage, when the wave of laughter subsided. And people even kill for phones, starve to buy themselves an expensive branded dress. They don't realize that they are under the influence of indoctrination, that it is not their desire, not their need, but only a compulsion that determines their actions. Again the sage drew the students' attention to the painting of the escalator. Look, the third step that brings us down is negative emotions, he said, pointing to the image of the quarreling couple. They arise when one defends the indoctrinated attitudes. Then, There is vindictiveness, resentment and hysterics. Conflicts begin in the family. All this leads to violence and aggression. As a result, people receive only negativity when communicating with the people close to them. It happens all the time. We are surrounded by it all. Great Master, what should we do to avoid it? Radha asked. Try to be conscious, the sage answered. Try to disidentify with our false personalities and become aware of what beliefs and attitudes govern our behavior, why we become angry and why we become offended. If we realize this, we will also realize that none of this makes sense. Master, but let's say that I have come to this understanding, and I try to remain conscious, but the other person does not, Elena started her question. And negativity always comes from them. What should I do then? The woman looked up at the sage, anxiously awaiting his answer. To prevent negative emotions from other people from influencing us, it is important to create a defense field around ourselves. There are special exercises and practices for this. You and I will definitely do them soon. Then the negativity from other people will not harm us. Elena nodded with gratitude, and her eyes again fell on the image of the escalator. Beloved teacher, here in the painting there is a military man with a gun, she noticed. He was not in the previous painting. Can you please explain the correct meaning of this? It says deeds of evil. What kind of deeds can be considered evil? Evil deeds are terrorist attacks, wars, revolutions, anything that causes suffering. This not only refers to wars between nations, but also what happens within nations. People hate each other, feel bitter, and spread negative emotions around themselves. This negativity is food for evil spirits, which devour people's souls, provoke them, and incite them to even greater conflicts. They make people attack each other with weapons. Master, is it possible that we are living in such a terrible age, when the amount of evil in the world is growing? Mila asked with anxious notes in her voice and froze, waiting for the master's answer. Actually, the spitefulness of people against each other, wars, hatred, all this has always been in the history of mankind, since ancient times. People have been constantly killed under the guise of false beliefs and ideals. For example, in the Middle Ages, witches and scholars were burned at the stake. In the Crusades, people were killed in the name of God and love for him. So, the substitution of concepts is not a peculiarity of our time. Radha wondered, has it always been like that? The sage answered to his student with a calm, direct look. All wars start with identification. One becomes fused with their masks, begins to believe too much that they are their role, begins to boast about the beliefs they were instilled to prove them, and eventually they sincerely begin to consider them as their own. Even when waging wars, people can sincerely cover up their cruelty and malice with good intentions. There was substitution of concepts before, and now, unfortunately, it is also happening in the world. If a person is possessed by these evil spirits, they go downhill very quickly. The master finished speaking and pointed to the part of the painting that showed people floundering in fiery lava and falling down the escalator. As the students followed his gaze, they fell silent, deep in thought. They looked at the stairway between heaven and hell, trying to comprehend all the details, to grasp the main essence of things. Life is an escalator going downhill, reminded the sage, looking at his students with a transparent smile, as parents look at their beloved children, who still have so much to understand, to comprehend, to realize. To go up the escalator that takes us down, we don't just need to go up, we need to run. If you don't move, you go down. I said it yesterday, but I'll say it again. It's important to make an effort. All the time. then we can go higher and higher step by step until we reach enlightenment. The guardian shook his head negatively. No, Maxim, it should not be understood so literally, he explained gently. The detached state is when, despite everything that happens around you, you react with detachment. Don't take everything personally, and sincerely thank God for this experience, for the opportunity to become better. You mean, when something bad happens, but it doesn't bother me anymore, Maxim clarified. Yes, that's right, smiled the guardian. For example, when your boss starts swearing, making remarks in a raised tone, you calmly respond, okay, I'll fix it. It means you don't support the conflict, don't take it upon yourself and keep your detachment from it, from negative emotions. Is it supposed to work that way with a husband, too? Svetlana asked. If he begins to provoke a conflict, and you want to respond to him, to prove that he is wrong. Yes, it works the same with a husband, said the master. It helps a lot to detach from the situation. Let him argue and shout, and you sit beside him and quietly do your spiritual practice. Then he will start losing power and you will be restoring it. That works in all situations involving negative emotions. Is it the same with the children? Elena asked with a little bit of surprise. What should one do if, for example, the child draws on the wallpaper? Should I praise him for it? Or pretend that I don't notice anything? You must always try to keep calm with children, the guardian spoke with assurance. Imagine if he drew something on the wallpaper and you wanted to slap him. Instead, you help correct his mistake, and you do it while staying completely calm. What if someone yells at you a lot? Radha asked with genuine incomprehension. If they call you names, for example, say all kinds of hurtful words. What do you do then? Negative things should always be treated with detachment and even positively, said the master unambiguously and this time without a trace of irony. Think about this. If one says something negative, gets angry, gets nervous, it means one suffers a lot. Suffers? The woman was surprised. How can it be? If you would see the subtle plane, you would see that one's aura is devoured by evil spirits. They provoke the person to be negative, to become angry and furious, to become hysterical. That is why at this moment, the person is tormented a lot and tries to hurt others. What will happen to this person next? Maxim asked. I mean, when the evil spirits destroy the whole aura. If the person continues in the same way, if they yield to their influence, then the evil spirits will reach their physical body. Then the person will fall ill. Therefore, if somebody swears or becomes angry at you, you should not be angry with them in return, but you have to help them. Master, how can we help? Radha exclaimed, not taking her eyes off the guardian's figure, and very attentive not to miss a single word. For example, there is a practice. Put your hand on your heart and imagine the person who negatively affects you. Imagine how hard it is for them now, and say from the bottom of your heart, God give you health. And then turn to God, raise your hands in the air and say, Lord, I thank you for all the situations you give me. You make me stronger by this. The student's eyes lit up with enthusiasm. One could see that they were ready to put the knowledge they received into practice and help those who were at the mercy of evil spirits. Thank you for the clarification, great one. Radha thanked the sage, expressing a mutual feeling of readiness to take action. So if we can curb our emotions and begin to help others in this, then we have already passed to the next stage and became closer to God, she asked, drawing everyone's attention back to the image of the escalator. The guardian listened to her question and nodded. The third step to paradise is sublime emotions, he went on explaining. If you can take things calmly, even when someone criticizes or scolds you, you will go to the state of sublime emotions. These are the states you experience when you do spiritual practices, when you pray, when you listen to divine chants. Helena raised her hand after she heard the sage's words. Master, I would like to tell you what changes have taken place in our group after this, she said in a deep, confident voice. May I? The woman froze, awaiting the master's approval, and, having received it, continued speaking. Many people in our group noticed changes in their lives when they started doing practices and opening their souls to God, praying sincerely. One woman suddenly got her salary increased 3 times. Another said that she received a large sum of money as a gift, over 1 million. She could not believe how it was possible and so easy, since she had not been able to pay off her loans for many years. And then, it was a miracle. We had had something like that, too. Mila enthusiastically supported the conversation. One of the students in our group got an expensive car from her husband, something she couldn't have even imagined before. Another had a son who went to a good university. Teacher, were these changes really no coincidence? Mila looked questioningly at the guardian. When you experience sublime emotions, you attract good spirits, who help you, give you strength, health, wealth, simply answered the sage. So all these stories are not accidental. People who start experiencing a lot of sublime emotions easily achieve everything they have planned, and help suddenly comes to them. The whole world seems to be coming their way. And then we receive a resource for doing good deeds, Radha suggested, pointing to the top step of the escalator. Right, the sage affirmed. The fourth step to heaven is good deeds. If we feel good, we smile at everyone around us. We go out and shine our inner light on everyone. We are in such a state that we want to give love, to bring joy, and to help others to do good deeds and get even more joy from it. Master, it appears that every good deed brings you closer to heaven and the angels, Maxim asked. Or are there exceptions? If a person does good deeds, but only out of a sense of duty or responsibility, how is that regarded? For example, they are told, help grannies with the food, and they do it automatically. Is it right that good deeds that are done mechanically are not really good deeds? It's very important what attitude we do it with and what emotions we get, the sage began to explain in detail. If a person does not have sublime emotions and does good deeds mechanically, these deeds do not develop them. If they perform deeds actively, with sublime emotions, compassion and empathy, then these deeds begin to develop them. They might have brought a bag of groceries to an old lady, but they did it mechanically, or even grumbled irritably, here, old woman. Why is she so slow? Why is she looking in the wrong place? I wanted to take a picture of her and she turned away. Then, of course, they will keep degrading. Because they are not in tune with good deeds and don't do them sincerely. They do this action mechanically, and this is always accompanied by negative emotions. The person rolls down the escalator. The sage said meaningfully and pointed his palm in the direction of the painting. So the key point here is sublime emotions and compassion, Radha asked. Otherwise there would be no development. Exactly, the guardian of knowledge confirmed. A person seems to do good deeds, but the deeds do not help them, because they did not put their heart in it. That is why it is very important to do good from the heart, with strong positive emotions. That's when everything will go well. As soon as emotions disappear, mechanical action begins. Then irritation, anger, laziness and greed begin to appear. That is why we need to keep charged with positive emotions. If there are positive emotions, then we remain awakened. There is energy, strength, and the action is done correctly. As soon as the positive emotions decrease, Then mechanical, senseless action begins. Then negative emotions appear, and we very quickly go downhill. Beloved Master, can good deeds be done out of fear? Radha asked a new question, and after a short pause, explained her thought. Fear of God, of hell. Yes, or, for example, out of a desire for God's gratitude. Svetlana continued the question. Listening to the student's questions, the sage shook his head negatively. One should not do good deeds expecting to receive God's gratitude, was the direct and unambiguous answer. Or in order to pay God off. As, for example, thugs who get rich often do. They transfer the amount to a charity fund and continue to steal. You need to help, so that others will feel well. Then you will receive grace, your soul will revive and come closer to God. And what is the right way to start doing good deeds? Radha asked. Say, if you have no money for charity. You don't have to donate large sums of money to start doing good deeds, the guardian confidently explained. Many good deeds do not require any material investment. For example, you can become a volunteer, or you can help a lonely old person in your apartment, or even just go to clean the riverbank from the garbage. Just look around carefully and you will definitely find those who need help. The sage's lips formed into a peaceful smile. He looked at his students with kindness and acceptance, sending them rays of support. In the eyes of each of them, lit up a spark of warmth and a desire to open their soul to goodness, to become a guide of God to help other people, while receiving the highest reward, a feeling of grace and bright sublime emotions. At this moment, each of the students felt the very divine particle in themselves. It fluttered and came alive, preparing to fulfill its highest mission, selfless and sincere help to others. For some time, the students stood silent, trying to feel, to remember, to preserve this awareness and this supreme aspiration as long as possible, but soon the question sounded in the temple hall again. So, to get to paradise, you have to walk these four steps, am I right? A brown-eyed young man with thick reddish hair clarified. Yes, Roman, in order to overcome the downward movement of the escalator, the first thing to do is to wake up and say to yourself, I am degrading. I am decomposing. The escalator is going down, and I need to run up to the angels. When that happens, one begins to renounce their lies and illusions, their identities. As soon as one renounces their lies, sublime emotions start to arise. Good deeds follow them. The guardian looked attentively at Roman, and then he moved his gaze further, holding it on each of the students, touching them with pure energy of unconditional love and acceptance. Remember, he said after a pause, we always have a choice. To make an effort and run up, or to do nothing and degrade, to go down. That's a choice we make every second, all the time. So you can't choose the spiritual path once and then relax, right? Roman asked again. At every moment, we have to confirm this choice with our actions. Did I understand it correctly? Yes, the master nodded. You cannot choose it once and think that now you will develop. Every second there is a struggle. Every second we are faced with this choice. A man says, well, I chose 10 years ago to take the spiritual path. Then why don't I see any change in my life? This happens because they then chose their own laziness every second and thought only of how they could protect and justify that laziness and other vices in themselves. They dreamed only of eating, having fun, and sleeping. They made a good right decision 10 years ago, and then every second they made a disgusting choice. That's why their decomposition began. Great one, can it be understood that the choice is between good and evil? Mila asked. And every second, a person makes a choice in favor of angels or demons. It can be understood that way, the sage answered with a warm smile. We really have to make such a choice every moment. We must not forget about it. We must think about what we choose. Light thoughts are bad, negative, evil ones. Do we listen to the indoctrinated agendas of society or our master? To be awakened or to fall into hallucinations? Mila nodded with sincere gratitude for the answers and explanations. Meanwhile, Elena raised her hand. Master, am I correct in assuming that awareness and awakening are necessary for us to just see this dream, to see what role we are in now? She asked, stepping forward. To see in general that we are sleeping in illusions. Certainly, the sage answered affirmatively. We have to think, what role am I in now? What processes are going on in me? Where does the thought that came to me lead? If we ask these questions, then development and awakening begin. If we don't ask such questions, then everything is neglected and there is degradation. So we have to ask these questions. Which way am I going now? Do I want to awaken or hallucinate? Am I in the real world now or in an illusory world invented by society? Having listened to the guardian's explanation, Elena thought for a moment and spoke again after a couple of seconds. This is exactly what I am asking about, she began, then stopped, searching for the right words. Very often people don't understand what awakening, the state of awareness, really is, the woman continued, emphasizing the intonation of the word really. And, I used to struggle with that, too. Now I think that awareness is not just walking down the street and counting your steps and thinking, I'm counting my steps and my breaths, that's it, so I'm aware. Because you can do that and still be asleep. There you said it now, too, that awareness is when you realize that you are degenerating, that the escalator is carrying you down. You often say that the sign of awakening is dissatisfaction with oneself, and that is the main indicator. And in fact, everything else, when you think that you meditate, when you count your breaths, is the same idleness, like these young women have. Elena waved her hand in the direction of the women depicted on the escalator with glasses of wine in their hands. Only it's a dream in consciousness, isn't it? And, until you realize that you're degrading, and if this feeling doesn't take over you entirely, you've never awakened at all, am I right? The woman spoke up and caught the gaze of the guardian of knowledge, waiting for his comments. It was a question she had been pondering for a long time, but only now did she decide to ask it, to explain her thoughts and check the correctness of her conclusions. Counting breathing and steps is necessary for the very beginning, when a person has just come to the school, is just beginning to understand something. These are the first exercises that help them really see themselves. What do they count the breaths for? Not just for fun, like they used to count crows. It appears that these exercises are not yet awareness itself, but a kind of tool for awareness and awakening, Elena said, trying to understand the question as deeply as possible. That's right. These exercises are not done for the sake of the exercises themselves. One counts their breaths to see oneself realistically. To realize how everything is in reality, to begin to observe oneself, to turn one's attention inside oneself. Then a person comes to the understanding and feels the horror of the state in which they have been all this time. This is when the real awakening begins. After listening to the master's explanation, Roman raised his hand and asked. And at the first stage, does the exercise help a person not to forget about some task they committed to? For example, I decided not to condemn anyone from that day, but then I immerse myself in all sorts of habitual activities and forget about it. Exercises bring me back to the need to work on myself, and they don't let me forget. Can I understand it that way? Yes, it is a good, correct understanding, the sage said approvingly. If a person forgets the task, they forget themselves, they forget to be conscious. So if we remember at least our task, for example, the decision not to judge others, It means that we are already awakening at this moment. Without exercise, without meditation, without practice, we constantly forget because sleep is oblivion. Everything is forgotten, everything goes out of our head, and hallucination replaces everything. If we retain the realizations we made in our memory, it means that at that moment, we are already aware. Roman looked at the sage with sincere gratitude and enthusiasm. One could read the same emotion on Helena's face. When she was sure of the correctness of her understanding and conclusions, she thought for a while, and it was obvious that she wanted to ask another important question. "Master, you say that we must put our soul and emotions into everything we do," the woman began after a pause. "When I hold classes in my city with my group, and when I understand that now I need to lead people to the ritual, I feel a block." The student stumbled and suddenly stopped talking. "What kind of a block?" The master answered the woman with a loving, kind look, urging her to tell it as she felt. "Just tell us how you feel." "I feel like I'm doing something wrong, for example, when I have to make the ritual 5 times shorter and remove unnecessary material. I understand that it should be done, but I don't know how. After all, I must give people some elevated images, but if I remove some images from the ritual, then it will be more difficult for people to receive elevated emotions." Helena lowered her eyes and then looked up at the sage. "How can we do a practice or a ritual quickly in a way that everyone would feel elevated emotions?" "Any practice or ritual can be done faster, if it is accompanied by bright emotions," the sage said firmly, "when there's nothing unnecessary, but there's an emotional coloring to it. Look, our conversations don't usually take all day, do they? We may even talk for only half an hour, but I manage to tell you so many things. This is because I always tell only the essence, the things that are needed to answer your questions in order to convey knowledge to you more easily and quickly. So there are 2 components. Bright emotions and efficiency of presentation," Helena asked again. "Yes, right. Therefore you should strive to do everything quicker and with greater emotions. Try to say only what you need to say, no empty talks, do not slow down, do not jump into distractions. Then it will be possible to have more time and get a good result. We will be able to help more people. For example, if the ritual lasts for an hour, how many people can you help in a day?" The sage addressed the question to the student, and she thought about it. The other students listened with interest, too. Many of them came to the master's temple from different cities and were organizers each in their own city, trying to help people, to awaken and lead them to the light. However, the question posed was rather rhetorical. Without waiting for an answer, the master continued, "And if the ritual is only 10 minutes long, but it is still as effective, then we will be able to help many more people. Therefore, we must try to speak only the essence and with great emotional intensity. If there is emotion in the speech, then the information is transmitted 10 times faster. Let's say you are talking to someone and they don't understand what you say. But if you shout once, they get it all at once. Have you ever seen that? Have you tried it?" There was a quiet murmur through the rows of students. Indeed, almost all of them had often noticed this pattern, but had not paid attention to it. "What is it about?" the sage went on again. "The point is that with big emotions, information is transmitted much faster. That is why we try to speak with great emotions, and then the necessary information and the necessary state will be transmitted to people more quickly. If we start to speak without emotions, more from the mind, but unemotionally, then the person understands nothing, gets confused, and it is hard for them to hold their attention." Roman raised his hand. His gaze burned with the enthusiasm and inspiration of a man who had just come to some succinct conclusion. "Master, is it because emotions work faster than mind? Exactly, the sage affirmed. It is very good that you have guessed and drawn that conclusion yourself. Yes, it is because emotions work much more quickly than the mind. That's why you have to apply more emotions and everything will go faster. The next question was posed by Arata, the fair-haired young woman. Master, tell me, is it right or wrong to identify with the tasks that are set for a team? Well, the leader has set a goal to fulfill a plan, for example, to make a certain amount of practices. Or for the good deeds that need to be done this month. That's when a person gets the wrong state, because they are identified and think, I should fulfill the plan, I should fulfill the plan. They cannot fulfill the plan precisely because they do not have the right sublime state. Rada began to gesticulate emotionally, spreading her hands to her sides and looking questioningly at the master. This is a kind of vicious circle. If one is identified, one cannot do good deeds. Is this so? First of all, one must understand why they are so worried about this plan, the sage said. Why are they so afraid? Often these worries come from wanting to get things done quickly and to relax. Thoughts arise about when the rest will finally come, when it will be possible to fall back into the former state. The person hurries to fulfill the plan in order to get back to their laziness faster, to lie down on the couch and do nothing, to continue sleeping in their illusions. One should, on the contrary, think like this. I have been given the plan for my assignments because I am still in a dream. But it's time to move to awareness. Now I will begin with sublime emotions to carry the knowledge to people, to help them, to give them this inner state of awakening. This is why one must not think about plans, but how to stop being in dreams and illusions, how to do everything with sublime emotions. Then everything will go quickly, because one is in the right frame of mind. Does it mean that one has to separate oneself first, to disidentify with this task, and then they will be able to accomplish a plan quickly? The young woman clarified. Yes, that's right. Everything you do requires the right attitude, the sage said. If all we think about is how to fulfill a plan, we're in the wrong frame of mind. It gets done badly, slowly, somehow. And often nothing gets done at all. You have to have the right attitude, and then the plan will immediately be fulfilled. People will be satisfied, and you will be able to transfer the high emotions to other students. Thank you, great one, said Rada with sincere gratitude, stepping back a little to let the other students ask their questions. The next one came from Svetlana. The woman pointed her hand in the direction of the image of the escalator, bringing the attention of the students back to the painting. Master, I wanted to ask you, why, after we detach, we feel sublime emotions immediately. I used to have a slightly different understanding that sublime emotions should be aroused by images in the temple or from divine chants or contemplation of nature. But now, it turns out that sublime emotions follow the detachment as soon as it appears. Why is it so? Think about this, said the guardian, addressing not only Svetlana but also the other students. What prevents our sublime emotions? Why can't they last long? The students pondered the answer. Maybe, what gets in the way is that we suddenly remember something, our attention shifts and that's it, Svetlana suggested. Yes, that's right. As soon as a person remembers themselves, they immediately lose their sublime state. If they have detached themselves from their ego, it no longer bothers them. Then the sublime emotion can last. So, if one does not know how to remain calm, if one has not renounced one's ego, then it is difficult to remain in sublime emotions. The sage nodded, confirming his student's words. Svetlana, you have understood correctly, he smiled. If one does not know how to let go, then one immediately switches to something negative. One remembers. Yesterday I was offended, something bad was said to me, I was humiliated, not appreciated at work, And then one becomes angry again, to experience bad emotions, to be irritated. If we were in a detached state, we would experience sublime emotions longer. The next question was asked by Maxim. Master, what is the difference between awareness and detachment? The young man looked at the painting. I understand that consciousness is when you are aware that you are a machine and that you act mechanically. And detachment is when you start to understand deeply. Wait, I am not a machine, I am Atman. There was a questioning intonation in the student's voice. But at the same time, at the stage of detachment, you still have the same mechanics that you have to get rid of. Did I get that right or not? Well done, you have understood correctly, the master complimented him and began to explain. Detachment means that a person has realized that they are sleeping, that they are acting mechanically, that these are, in fact, not their attitudes, their roles and masks. That is, for a time at least, they have separated themselves from their illusions and have seen reality. Their illusions, their false personalities, their roles, all these things cease to be important, they stop taking them seriously. At the stage of detachment, you are already separated from impurities, and you can be in the most sublime state. But in order to be detached, first you have to awaken from sleep and realize it to see that, in fact, you have been asleep all this time. That is, first we awaken, see our laziness and other vices, then we renounce them, and after that, the sublime state comes. As soon as the sage had finished speaking, Mila's hand flew up. Evidently, his words had touched something in her soul, something that made her want to talk or ask her own question, which appeared right here and now. Master, you say that we should put our soul and heart into everything we do, she began and immediately stopped, as if she was about to say something very unpleasant, something that was very difficult for her to say. Yes, Mila, that's right, the sage encouraged her. But, is there something you want to ask? He looked at her with such warmth that she made an effort to continue speaking. Master, I've been doing practices for so many years, but, I still can't do everything with a pure heart. Even if I do one thing a day with such an attitude, it's already a lot for me. Please tell me, how do I get to this point? Now, when I talk to people in a group in my city, I understand that I need to be sincere, but I can't fully stay in such a pure state of mind. When the woman had finished, she exhaled. It was obvious that the mere fact that she had decided to tell the master about this had removed a heavy burden from her heart. You have to be more in tune, the sage replied softly, sending her an energy of support and unconditional acceptance. Don't wait until you have a rest, when you have an opportunity to relax. One may think in such a way. Now I'll practice, meditate, and then I'll lie down and watch TV or go have a good meal. And that's a completely different mindset. It's a different mindset of selfishness. Master, but how are we supposed to keep the right attitude? It's very important to understand what we're doing all this for. All these practices and meditations. Why do we want to help people? If we do it in order to make others feel good, then we have the right attitude. But if we do good deeds to avoid our boss scolding us or to fulfill the plan, it is selfishness followed by negative emotions. That's why you have to set yourself up properly and ask yourself constantly, what am I going to do for people now that is good? How will I do things more emotionally? How will I get this information and uplifted state to people faster? Would that kind of mindset help us speak from our heart and be in a more emotional, right state of mind? Yes. But even the right mindset can change, because people tend to switch and forget things. That's why we need to set alarm clocks that remind us, be in a more emotional state. Think about people, stop thinking about yourself. Or we need to make it so that someone reminds us all the time. Then we won't switch, and we'll be fine. We'll be more in that right state and we'll slowly get used to it. But it's very difficult, isn't it? Maxim asked. To transmit emotions all the time. If you have the right attitude, it will work, the sage smiled. Remember how I usually talk to you at our meetings. I do not explain everything dryly, I try to make it more emotional and active, to give examples, to laugh sometimes, to explain with the help of images. You also need to learn to make your speech and actions more emotional, then you will be more lively and everything will work out well. Master, I am often asked this question in the group. Why was I flying in the spiritual practice, and when it was over, I identified with everything again, and the state disappeared somewhere? Asked Elena, when the sage finished answering the previous question. He looked at her with a penetrating look, and mischievous sparks danced in his eyes. I think you already know the answer, he said with an enigmatic smile, urging the woman to ponder it aloud. She thought for a few seconds, and the room was silent for a moment. I think it disappears because there isn't the same detachment, Elena finally spoke. That is, one rises to this higher level when one is in sublime emotions, and then, lo and behold, one identifies with one's false personalities, with attitudes and roles again. So it turns out that the lack of detachment prevents one from rising higher and experiencing divine grace. You are right. You have understood the essence, the sage said approvingly. In the practices, one flies because someone else gives them the attunement. That is, at this moment the attunement comes from outside and a person rises a few steps up, then the practice stops, and nobody gives them the attunement. The person goes down the escalator again, begins to think about themselves, and a bad state comes immediately. It happens because one is not detached. So how can we help a person not to go down? Elena asked with growing enthusiasm. How do you help them to detach themselves? If one started observing oneself and traced one's vices immediately, then after the practice, one would become angry at oneself, horrified at one's laziness, one's pride, one's selfishness. One would realize that one was acting according to programs that were simply indoctrinated into one. Then one could already renounce one's false personalities, one's vices, and go on being in a sublime state. But if a person thinks that they have been wronged, that their importance has suffered, that somewhere they were deprived of something, it turns out that they are worried about themselves, and they display their egoism. All the high emotions disappear immediately. To avoid that, you have to detach. As soon as you start thinking about yourself, you have to say to those thoughts, "What is this? I don't want to think about myself. People are dying here. I have to save them." And then the right attitude appears. That is, as soon as you think about yourself, you begin to go down the escalator, right? The woman clarified. And as soon as you start thinking about people, you immediately feel good. The sage nodded and gave her a transparent smile, which made the woman's face light up and shine with a bright light from within. The secret of happiness is known, said the sage. So one only has to remember it and renounce ugliness and self-importance in time. And then one will feel the beautiful state. The sage felt that another spiritual talk had come to an end, that the students needed time to comprehend the knowledge received today. But, nevertheless, several questions still remained unanswered. Roman raised his hand, and the master turned his gaze to him, showing his readiness to listen to a question. Master, sometimes a person thinks that they are trying their best, but in fact, they can do much more. Are they seduced by themselves at this point? They think they are trying, and this comforts them, serves as a self-excuse. But in fact, they are in a tamasic state, and a lot of negative emotions will arise after that. So it turns out that the person has not even awakened, and they are only dreaming that they are trying. And in reality it is only an illusion. Yes, Roman, you have understood correctly. Such a person is in the seduction of themselves. It only seems to them that they are trying. How do you help such people? How do you distinguish between a dream and a real effort? One should think like this. If I am trying, it means that I need to learn new things, change, track positive changes in myself. Practices and tasks must get better and better. If I can't learn, then I'm not trying hard enough. This is the main criterion. If a person thinks, I'm trying hard, they are really relaxing, and you should never do that. The sage pointed expressively at the escalator. You see, the stairs are always going down, and if we just relax. He didn't have to finish the phrase. It hung in the air, and the eyes of all the students turned to the painting, which very vividly showed what awaits those who stop making efforts. What about the fact that one is not alone? That a person attends a group, can it somehow help them not to relax? Mila asked another question. Of course, the guardian of knowledge answered unambiguously, and began to explain at length. People think, I'm not alone, I'm part of a team. And now they are beginning to remember how things are done at the school, what innovations are happening there, and what did the master say. It turns out that it makes it easier for a person to work on themselves because they have to coordinate their actions with those of the school, and then they are in a more awakened state and begin to try harder. When he had finished speaking, the master nodded at the slender young woman. Radha, do you have another question? Yes, she bowed her head respectfully. Master, do I understand correctly that we have been taught since childhood to degrade, and now we need to develop positive habits that will lead to development, not to complacency and sleep? That's right. We need to develop positive habits, because since childhood we have formed these habits. How to cheat, how to dodge, how not to work or just pretend that we are working. The right habits should lead us to help people, to do everything sincerely. If this happens and the right habits are developed, our biorobot begins to work properly. Beloved Master, tell me, is it possible to develop and learn not from your own experience, but, for example, from books? Radha kept asking. The sage shook his head. No, you can't learn life in an abstract way. That's why we cannot develop spiritually from books. It is impossible to realize and understand everything just by reading a book. That doesn't mean that one shouldn't read, the guardian smiled, but what you have read must always be supported by practice, must be transformed into action. Only through our own experience, facing difficult situations and sharp corners, when we saw our ugliness and began to fight it, do we know ourselves. This is how we know truth, then we develop. Master, without pushing and reminding, we cannot even develop, right? Radha asked her final question for today. So we should take it very joyfully if someone pushes us or constantly kicks us, points out our weaknesses and faults so that we don't forget ourselves and we continue to make efforts and run upward. Is this how we need to set ourselves up? It couldn't be otherwise, the sage answered simply and confidently. Because we have been taught to be lazy. No one in childhood was told, hurry up and do everything, go help here and there. Why are you sitting there? Come on, do something good, work hard. No. On the contrary, we were told sit, lie down, rest, eat some more. There was no proper upbringing. That's why everyone has this problem. If we were accustomed to work since we were kids, we would work hard, learn different professions, do something difficult, and then we would have grown up normal. So now it is necessary to be angry at ourselves, to arouse dissatisfaction with our vices, laziness and selfishness. Only this can save and lead a soul to God and angels. So every moment of our lives we must make this difficult choice. Laziness or effort, sleep or awakening, and only the choice of effort can lead us upward. The final words of Sage sounded solemn and at the same time succinct, concise, ingeniously simple and clear. Another spiritual talk came to an end. The students had plenty of food for thought and further work on themselves, so that they could make the right choice every time. The guardian, according to tradition, ended the deep conversation with a spiritual poem. I will walk confidently the great way to the resurrection, the power of God's insight will help me avoid a misfortune. The inspiration revealed to me the truth. I wish it to be strong forever. And may the doubt that tortured me in my sleep be forever gone from my soul. When I perceive the ideal, I'll destroy the citadel of desire. For with faith in God it's easier to fly to heaven.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.